Oh.
Good morning. I am so excited to talk to you because I know you are bold and we need more bold women in the world.
Thank you. I agree with that statement 100%.
Regina Winkelbryan is the founder of Bold Spirit Travel. Isn't that a brilliant name? She's based in Seattle, Washington. She's visited over 35 countries, which is more countries than I knew existed. And sometimes she stays longer in a place than she expected. And I can't wait to hear more about this. She spent 2 years accidentally, by it sounds, in Central America, and then managed to end up with 10 years in Barcelona, Spain, where she was working as a journalist covering mostly travel, food, and design. And I just have to say, I love, love, love your name. Regina, of course, means reigning queen, and I'm the Commonwealth, right? So I love that you are the queen of bold.
I love that. I should put that on my my email signature.
The reigning queen of bold. Is Regina a family name? How did that come about?
Is. It's I come from a long line of Reginas, so just trying to continue in their bold ways into the next generations here.
Here's to multi generations of Reginas always continuing the flag of boldness.
Thank you.
So, how did you end up with 10 years in Barcelona in Spain? I've got a ton of questions, so bear with.
Well, I always wanted to go to Spain. I was living in Guatemala actually at the time, and I thought, honestly, I didn't know a lot about Spain. I had some misconceptions, which I think are pretty common for a lot of us who haven't been there yet. I, for example, did not know that they speak Catalan in Catalonia, which is where Barcelona is. I didn't know that before I moved there. I had heard that there was another language besides Spanish, but I wasn't very well informed. I just felt like I wanted to live on the Mediterranean Sea in an artistic, vibrant city, cosmopolitan city, and that definitely is Barcelona. And so I moved there, and one thing kind of led to another. It was an adventure. I was in my early 20s and I ended up staying for a decade and actually meeting my husband there and married him, a Catalan. He came with a dog, so that was a plus.
Oh,
And
yeah, so did mine. I call it a signing bonus.
right. So yeah, I didn't go for studies or for work necessarily. I went for adventure, and because it just kind of on a soul level, I don't know if that's maybe too woo-woo, but I just felt like I needed to go there, and I think that was right. I ended up staying there for quite a while.
I can see why, and you ended up with a husband and a dog.
Well,
Obviously,
right, yeah.
not necessarily in that order of importance. I can't wait to talk about your wonderful journeys. Bold Spirit Travel creates the most incredible small group adventures, and you are going back to Spain in 2022 on a walking tour.
I am, and also I just got back from Spain, and so I was in Barcelona for a little bit, and that was a really kind of an interesting experience because I, like you said, I'm in Seattle, and we're just more spread out here, aren't we? So I had kind of forgotten over the last 2 years, being sequestered during COVID, just how many people are in Barcelona. It's 1.5 million people. And if you know Spain, you know people are always out and they're in the streets. And this was in September. So all of a sudden I land and I thought, oh my goodness, there's a lot of people here. And they're in my personal space. But the thing about Spain is that they are wearing masks everywhere outside. Because they do need to wear a mask if they are not within 6 feet of one another. They just wear masks outside, of course, indoors as well. The only time they really take it off is to sit down and eat something. And there's just hand sanitizer everywhere. So I felt very safe despite the fact that there were a lot of people around. And then I went over to northwestern Spain, where Santiago de Compostela is, and that is where the Camino is. And I think some of your listeners are probably familiar with the Camino. It's a 1,000-year-old pilgrimage trail. There was a movie that with Martin Sheen that came out a few years ago and made it even more famous. Shirley MacLaine wrote a book about her experience doing it in 2000. So anyways, a lot of people go to do the Camino, and I just did two of them. One, which is called the French Way, and then took a little break, and then did another one, which is called the Portuguese Way. And as you can imagine, it comes up from the south, from Portugal. So I've actually been in Spain for the last 5 weeks. I just got back a few days ago.
Well, welcome back. Regina offers a walking tour of the Camino de Santiago, Spain. It's going to be in June next year. As we're recording this, it's October 27th, 2021. But June, it kicks off in June 2022. There's a couple of spaces left. So do jump onto Bold Spirit Travel and check that out. Are Spain requiring vaccination passports at the moment?
They don't have a vaccination passport, but they do require people to be vaccinated. So you have to show your vaccine card, vaccination card, before getting on the flight. I wonder if that will change. You know, in some other European countries, France, for example, you have to flash your vaccine card to get into certain restaurants and bars. That hasn't happened in Spain yet, but maybe it will. It's just kind of part of being in the travel industry is constantly keeping tabs on what different countries are doing. So even that change with the having to show proof of vaccination, that's new. I think Spain started requiring that in early September. So everybody who was on our tours was vaccinated, and I require people to be vaccinated to come with me because it causes too many problems. We're sharing a van, small bus, and we share meals together. We're just together all the time. And so if one person is, one person isn't. Plus, I feel like more and more countries are going to require it as we go forward. So it will limit people, you know, they've made these plans and then they can't come because they don't have the vaccine, et cetera. So I've decided to just make it mandatory for my guests.
Well, it means that you don't have to, once your guests get there, there's no further restrictions, no barriers, no hurdles. There are people who can't be vaccinated, of course, but I think we also forget, I've travelled a lot as well, and many countries require vaccinations for a variety of things. So this isn't anything new.
That's right. Yeah, depending on where you're going, you have a whole list of vaccines, shots that you need to get, right?
So COVID hit, and this is a bold woman who is travelling. So COVID hit. Were you in Seattle when everything shut down, or were you overseas?
I was in Seattle, and we had a few trips that were supposed to happen in April and May, and of course, that didn't happen. And I don't know if you remember, but in Europe, Italy was the first to be hardest hit, and then shortly thereafter, Spain. And those are the places where we focus on mostly. We do quite a few tours in Italy and also in Spain. So it was just, yeah, really disappointing. And who knew it was going to last for so long? But we decided to pivot. And some of my friends who are not involved in travel really at all, and just, it was kind of a strange thing, and they don't know each other, they would say to me, why don't you do virtual tours? And I said, nobody wants to go on a virtual tour, you know?
Oh,
come
yes,
on.
We do. Oh, yes, we do.
Well, this
do.
Was back in early 2020. Nobody wants to do that. But I kept on hearing it from different people. So I thought, okay, fine, I'll try it out. And I have there's a guide who I work with in Rome named Sylvia. And I said, Sylvia, what do you think? Let's do this together. So she said, all right. So we did one on the Etruscans. And what do you know? A bunch of people came. And so then we started doing more, and with guides in other countries. So in Barcelona and in Costa Rica and in the south of Italy. And then we started doing workshops where we did things like soul collage with local artists here in Seattle or in Portland. We did a word of intention New Year's retreat online. So we've done cooking classes with chefs, Italian chefs online. We have a book club that's online. So it kind of started with this well, the necessity to, like, what do we do now? We can't go anywhere. And also all of these guides, they couldn't make any money. All of a sudden, there are no tourists in Italy, or wherever. And so it was a way to help support them and also a way for us to keep going. And like I said, at first I was really hesitant to do it, but I'll tell you what, I got so many emails especially during 2020, saying, "Oh my gosh, your online events, they saved me. I looked forward to them every week. It was like a bright spot," especially from women who were living alone and pretty isolated. And it was a way for them to connect with other women and learn something and go somewhere, through the magic of Zoom. So it turned out to be something more meaningful than I thought it was going to be. And it's something that we still do. We're still doing virtual visits. We just did one on Pompeii last weekend. So,
Sylvia must have been, was it Sylvia? Must have been hit hard when Italy was ravaged.
that's right. Yes, she was. And it still hasn't returned to, normal levels, of course.
And she and her family were okay?
She's okay. I think she works with a series of other guides too. And I think it was hard for all of them. The guides who pivoted and were able to do online lectures, not just for an American audience, but also for Italians, or some of them did university work, stuff like that. They did far better than those who were not able or willing to embrace the kind of online experience. It's not easy for everybody to navigate teaching online, especially when you're used to being a guide and leading people face to face and seeing their expressions and, it's another language, all of that. So,
And also, when you're in person, you can adapt on the fly. If your audience is interested in a particular thing, you can linger a little longer. You can get a little more information. But I personally would love to follow one of your guides around Italy. So I'm so excited that I found Bold Spirit Travel. I want to circle back. Have two great events coming up. One is the 2022 Word of Intention. I've been hearing a lot about people wanting a word of intention. Would you tell me a little bit about that workshop?
Absolutely. We're doing two of them. So we're going to do one that's online on January 2nd, and then we're going to do one that's in person in the artist's studio in Portland, Oregon. And that's a really small one because, again, we're in a closed space. So I think we'll only have 7 people or something like that to follow COVID guidelines. But yeah, the word of intention. So kind of a spin-off on goal setting and that kind of thing. Uh-oh, can you hear my chihuahuas in the
Oh,
background?
I love chihuahuas. They are wonderful guard dogs.
Oh
Absolutely
yeah.
amazing.
That means that the mail has arrived. Sorry about that. So anyways, the word of intention, my word for this year was flow, as in go with the flow. And I have had to revisit that word many times throughout this year, reminding me to be flexible, and pivot and see opportunities, adapt. Anyways, it's these workshops, we do a series of exercises for participants to find their word. Sometimes people show up and they have a word, they think, okay, this is what it's going to be. But then we do through meditation, journaling, sharing, we have a series of things that we do. They might decide, actually, no, my word is this other thing. And then we create an art piece that represents that word visually, and guests can hang that on their wall somewhere. So, like, I have mine in my office, I'm looking at it right now, and it's a visual reminder of what your intention for 2022 is. And you can come back to it again and again. Some people who have done this for years, and so they have a whole wall of their words of intention. And sometimes the word is in there, and sometimes it's not. It's just maybe written on the back, but the art represents the word. So the one that we're doing online is actually mandalas. And then the one that we're going to do in person is a multimedia project where participants are using Oh, Japanese papers, paints, wood, all kinds of really fun art materials to create this hanging piece that they will take home with them.
You're going to walk away with a manifestation marvel. I truly believe in the power of the visual, having something visual to lock something into your mind, and the fun of creating. The in-person event too includes nourishing meals, because I believe it's an all-day event, and Regina will also arrange, if you want, that there's a nearby accommodation you can stay in if you want to make it more of an event and actually stay there for a couple of nights.
That's right. Yeah. So we're on the first night, we're going to have dinner together. You'll guests get to meet the other women who are participating. And then we spend all day at the artist studio and she leads the class. And then we have lunch together. And for people from out of town, I have these two really cute B&Bs that are in Southeast Portland and near all the shops and the fun cafes and restaurants and whatnot. So it should be a great experience. Now, it's fair to say that January is not prime time to visit the Pacific Northwest. But we're going to be snug and doing our artwork together and doing having this experience with one another. It's really more about that than
Sounds like
being
an
in Portland.
incredible experience. Contact Regina at info@boldspirittravel.com to find out more about that, because there are limited places, but it's very possible that I'm sure there'd be a lot of interest. You might be able to squeeze another workshop in there as well to accommodate. What about your New Year's retreat?
That's the same one. So we have the Word of Intention workshop online, and then the New Year's retreat
Oh,
is.
apologies. Absolutely. The second, January the 2nd, is the online event, which I can attend. And then I'm in a moon boot at the moment. And then January the 7th and the 8th is the in-person experience in Portland, Oregon. And
Right.
Portland is a charming place to visit. Do you have any inkling of what your word will be for 2022?
Ooh, good question. I have to think about it. What about you?
You've got me thinking. I'd never done it before, so I'm going to attend your online event and I'll work it out that way.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, as we get closer into December, and deeper into the winter, it's a good time to reflect and think about, okay, what have I just come through in 2021? What do I want? And
And also to
we've
look
got
back at
time.
2021 and maybe divine what your word was that you weren't aware of.
Yeah, if you hadn't chose one or did it transform throughout the year?
Maybe I'll get a word of the month.
That works too.
If you go on Bold Spirit Travel, there is a great guide. It's 30 hacks for bold women travelers, which is brilliant because women travelers, it goes without saying, we face different experiences than solo men travelers do or men travelers do. Would you give us one of those hacks?
Oh, geez. Well, can I tell you a little bit about compiling that list?
Yes, please.
So as I was putting that together, it was going to be like 10 or something, but I started to ask all of my women friends, a lot of them travel, and other professionals in the tourism industry, well, what do you take? What's like the one thing that you always do when you travel? And I started to get all of these, suggestions from them. So that's why it grew into 35. I think there's one on there that talks about using the neck pillow, the neck, headrest thing that you can buy as a seat cushion. I had never thought about that.
Oh, genius.
So she always does that. There were tips about chafing that I thought were important, especially we do some like the Camino, you're walking 10 to 11, 12 miles a day. So how to protect yourself from that. There are all kinds of things. Oh, various tips on how to deal with jet lag. Different friends had different methods, try these fizzies or drink this amount of water when you're on the plane. So I took their tips and then my own tips that I've had, experienced over years of traveling, and then put them into this PDF. And actually, when I go on a big trip, so I was just gone for 5 weeks, I print that off and I use it to help pack my suitcase so that I remember. I use that, and then each one of our trips also has a packing list, so I'll use both of those and like, oh yeah, I want to try that out, or don't forget this, don't forget the earplugs, in case you have a roommate who snores, or even on the plane, it's nice to have those. So I use them too, and anybody who travels might find some good tips on that list.
I'm going to download it. If anyone wants information on ways to get through an 18-hour flight from Seattle to New Zealand, contact me. I might have something to say about that. Speaking of suitcases, because I'm a coach with a passion for fashion, there's usually some clothing questions in somewhere. What are some of the things you put in your suitcase if you're going to, say, Spain?
Depends on the time of year. So if I'm going to Barcelona, actually for this last trip, it was pretty difficult to pack because I was going to be in Barcelona and then over in Northwest Spain, which is much, much cooler. And I had all these cute sundresses and, sandals, but then I had my, walking shoes. So for the Camino, we use trail shoes. I use Hoka One One, which I think are really great because they have a lot of cushion. They also take up a lot of room, so I wore those. And then I needed to have a coat and a vest and all this special gear for walking. I had some pants from Prana and some other yoga pants from Prana, and then sport clothes. I also like Tode and Company for their travel gear. So I'm looking for things that don't wrinkle. But are stylish that don't wrinkle, right? So I don't have to deal with, trying to figure out if the hotel has an iron, or actually just generally in my life, I try to avoid things that wrinkle because I don't like to iron. So that's kind of a go-to all the time.
Yeah, my iron's got dust on it.
Right.
Hoka, that's Hoka, are a great brand of shoes. They're also really good if you have foot issues. If
Oh,
you
yeah.
have bunions or arthritis, they're a great go-to as well.
They have a lot of padding and they served me very well on the Camino. Other guests were using Ons, ONS, and so I haven't used those, but they seem to really like those. I try to save some space in my suitcase to buy things in Spain. And what I like to buy are shoes and clothes, of course, but especially Spanish shoes. I love the brand Viales. They make beautiful leather shoes, and they say made in Spain, and that's kind of a special souvenir to have something that's crafted there. Of course, I like Zara for kind of more well, accessible fashion, I guess. There's a Zara kind of like there's a Starbucks here in Seattle. They seem to be on every corner in Barcelona. So you can do some shopping there. And then I really like Desigual and Custo, which are two, I feel like they're very Barcelona kind of shops because they just have these wild, wild fashions. Probably 70% of it I would never wear because it's just too wild for me. But I always find something like a great coat or a cute skirt that's just so unusual. So both of those places, I make the rounds whenever I'm in town and look at the shoes and look at the fashion. They have great shopping there.
If you ever decide to expand what you do, could you take me on a virtual tour of all of these brands? And I'm going to ask Regina if she'll give us the links to put in the show notes, because I was frantically writing all these names down. But I think a virtual shopping tour, my friend, if you can somehow manage to work that in, I'd much appreciate it.
Oh, it's such a good idea. I've had lots of women ask about doing shopping tours. Maybe we'll do it one of these days, but oh, it's such a great place to shop.
Well, if you're interested in a shopping tour, talk to Regina because she does private tours. So she will actually help you create a private adventure. Will you tell me a bit more about that?
Oh, absolutely. So if if you and a few friends, for example, want to go to Florence and you want to have a private experience, then we can make that happen for you. My colleague is a Roman archaeologist, and so we work together. She's really our Italy specialist, and then my speciality is Spain. And so between the two of us, we can cover a lot of ground over there. And then we work with local guides also to craft really unique experiences. So it could be, just a solo traveler also who needs some vacation planning help. I also do that. The private experience was really born out of COVID as well, honestly, because there was more demand for having just staying in your bubble, staying with your family. It's also an opportunity for me to plan for co-ed groups. Most of our tours are just for women. So if you have a group that's, dad, mom, or whatever, or a group of guys, it doesn't matter. With the private tours we could just custom plan it for the client. So we have more flexibility there.
I think that's your trip facilitator, Mary Jane, right?
That's right. She's our facilitator for Italy. And like I said, she's a Roman archaeologist. She speaks Latin and also Italian. And she is actually currently, as we're recording this, doing excavation work in Ostia, in which is just right outside of Rome. So she's a working archaeologist and professor.
I think there's a virtual, you've got a virtual tour of some element of that. Am I right?
We have done Ostia before. She'll be doing a tour with Sylvia coming up here in November called Rome, A Lifetime Is Not Enough. And they will be taking guests through kind of the best of Rome and the musts beyond the Colosseum and the Sistine Chapel and things like that. So, yeah, she does. We work together online a lot as well. So, the one thing I love about our virtual tours too is that it gives guests an opportunity to meet us before they go on a tour. So they can come and meet Mary Jane, or come and meet me, come and meet Sylvia or Fabrizio. And then they get an idea of, like, oh, these are the people who I'm going to spend, 8 days with. And
And vice versa.
right, yes, true. I love meeting our clients online. I see a lot of familiar faces every time we do an event, and it's just really fun for me. I have a real passion for travel, obviously, but I also have a passion for bringing people together, connecting people, and that's really the heart of Bold Spirit, is bringing women together to connect with one another. And it happens on every trip, and friendships are made, and people find travel buddies to go with on other adventures. We did one to Mount Rainier National Park this summer, and a couple of the women realized they both wanted to go to Norway, and so they're planning to do that together. That's the idea, is to connect people and connect people with other women who want to go out and be adventurous. I hear from a lot of clients that they're ready to travel, but their partner doesn't want to, or maybe they've just gone through a divorce, or there's been a milestone or some kind of life-threatening experience. And whatever it is, they're ready to get out there and they don't want to do it alone. And so this is a chance for them to come with a small group of women and hopefully meet other people who they can continue to travel with in the future.
I love it. I'm also, I'd feel safer being with a group of amazing women, being with an experienced guide. I think I'd be able to be a lot more bold if I, when I know I have that kind of a resource.
That's right. Yeah, sure. I mean, I think fear is the thing that keeps most of us at home. And I'll tell you that even before going to Spain a month ago, I was anxious all summer about the trip. What's it going to be like? Am I going to, what COVID, of course, just adds another layer of fear. People are already apprehensive, a lot of people, about traveling. Are they going to be understood? Because it's a different language if they don't speak the language. Are they going to get lost? And will they be able to find their way? Just fear of the unknown, and also fear of looking silly if they make a mistake or a cultural faux pas, right? And then there are dangers that are real and imagined. And I think it's quite normal to feel anxious about all of this. So if you go with a group and people are experienced and speak the language, then you say, okay, well, actually, this is fine. And maybe next time I can do it on my own, or maybe next time you come with another group, and that's fine too. But I love introducing women to new places and showing them, like, okay, this is how you do it. And so a lot of times by day eight, they're like, yeah, I could do this. Even with limited Italian, I could do this.
I miss being intrepid. I moved to Tokyo by myself and lived there on and off for 7 years and had an amazing time. But Tokyo is a very safe and welcoming place for gaijin women. It's whereas other countries perhaps I'd be more cautious about. So starting off with a tour, what a wonderful way to build up confidence, to build up your boldness. Sometimes we have to be bold one step at a time.
Absolutely. Oh yeah. I mean, yes. For some people, just there are different levels of bold. And one thing that bothers me about the travel industry or adventure industry is we have these ideas. Some people have ideas of what the right way to do it is. Oh, you're a real traveler if you do X, Y, and Z. Or you did the real Camino if you did it like this. And I think just let each person live their own path. And for one person, it might be bold to go to Morocco and on their own, and that might be a real bold move for them. And for somebody else, it's going on a trip to Alaska, doing something closer to home. I think we just got to let people go at their own speed and honor that. And I think any kind of travel, just getting out of Dodge and experiencing something new, I say go for it. You got to start somewhere.
Exactly. And the great thing about visiting so many countries, I've been fortunate to see around 13, 14 countries, is it's such a wonderful way when you come home. You appreciate things in such a different way. It's a cliche, travel broadens the mind, but it really, really does. And a lot of us, our worlds have become a lot smaller because of COVID. So, we'll get back out there. Flights are starting to fill up again, I believe, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I've on my flight home, I had about a half full flight from Barcelona to New York, and then so that was great. Nobody next to me, very comfortable. And then on the way from New York to Seattle, it was completely packed, which wasn't my favorite. But people had their masks on, and I flew with Delta, and I felt like they did a really good job reminding people what the protocol is and what the consequences would be if they did not adhere to the rules. And as far as I saw, everything was fine.
Alaska did the same thing. I've been out, I've been down to Arizona, I've been down to Palm Springs to get away from the Seattle gray. Barcelona sounds a lot more enticing, but Alaska did a good job too. And Regina can all help you with luxury travel or roughing it. You've experienced both and you appreciate both, right?
That's true. Yes. I love all kinds of travel. Sometimes we did a hiking trip in Leavenworth. So that's our Seattle people will know Leavenworth, Washington. It's a beautiful village up in the mountains. And we did a hiking trip there. Actually, it was during one of those, the heat wave. Where we had 100 degree plus days. So that was quite an experience. We had to get up and start hiking at 6 a.m. And so we were able to do the hike and get down before it got too hot. But that's a sweaty, dirty kind of experience, you know? And I would say that the Camino is too, to a certain extent. We don't stay in hostels or albergues, as they're called. And we stay in B&Bs and inns, but still you're walking for many miles each day and it's physical, it's sweaty. And sometimes the place where you eat lunch is really nice. And sometimes it's just Manolo's bar and there's only three things on the menu. You know, it's a certain kind of traveler who's going to appreciate that. But then we go to Italy and we're staying in beautiful hotels and in Rome and Tuscany and Amalfi, and that's a much more luxurious experience than some of our hiking and outdoor experiences are.
I love Leavenworth, but I would never go there for the cuisine.
Right. You know what, though? We ate at a place. Oh, I'm not going to remember the name of it. Maybe I can add it to your, send it to you for the show notes. And it was so good. It was a new place that had opened up and it was fantastic. It was kind of an Italian fusion and a cocktail bar. And yeah, your listeners should definitely try it out if they go to Leavenworth. So I'll look it up.
I have vague memories of a lot of sausage, German sausage, and that's about it, which is wonderful, but not if you're vegetarian.
That's right, yeah.
But moving on, two worthy causes that you support, I would love to hear more about. You contribute to a Girls Inc. and Travelers Against Plastic. Would you tell me what they are?
Yes, so a big part of what is important to me is sustainability with travel and reducing plastic waste associated with travel, and also helping girls and women generally. I mean, the Bold Spirit is all women small group travel, so those are two causes that are close to my heart, and also thinking about sustainability vein, thinking about how I can include hotels and experiences on our tours that are more sustainable. So sometimes that's pretty easy to do and sometimes it's more difficult, but an easy thing to look for just in general for listeners is if you are booking a hotel, you don't want the hotel with the little tiny, you know, those little tiny plastic shampoo and body wash bottles that they give everybody. We want to do away with that. That's just needless plastic. Hotels should be embracing other forms of shampoo and body wash and that kind of stuff. So that's something you can ask about when you book a hotel, and that's something that we look for. And also for example, we go to Costa Rica. In fact, we have a Costa Rica trip coming up in January. Costa Rica has had many initiatives to protect its tropical forests over the years, and they're really a leader in Central America for that. Well, we're interested in that, and we're interested in promoting that. So we take us to Monteverde and all these different reserves, which have been protected for wildlife that's really abundant there. We also visit a women's cooperative. So it's about being sustainable and staying in places that are sustainable, but also connecting with locals who are doing work in their own communities to help women especially, or to protect the environment. And then encouraging my guests, if they're going to travel without us, and a lot of people do come on a trip and then they'll go somewhere else, you know, for another week, or they'll come early, whatever, encouraging them to use transportation that's greener, because honestly, we know that flying is not great for the environment, right? So how can we reduce our carbon footprint? Well, we can take, once we're in country, we can take trains instead of short flights, and just to try to reduce the impact of travel. So that's something I think a lot about, and it's something that I want to incorporate more and more into Bold Spirit as we move forward.
There's also something on your website that I absolutely loved, and which I'm going to nick and use it as one of my mantras about inspiring, wanting women to live an inspired life surrounded by inspiring people.
Yes, I want that
Yeah,
for myself.
I want that too, and I want that for every woman I know. So there's a great mantra. Perhaps it might even come up in your word of intention for 2022. Maybe my word's going to be inspire. I'll keep you posted.
I like that.
You can find the amazing Regina, and I haven't even touched the, I haven't even gone below the surface of how where her love for travel came from. But we'll do it another time. But you can find her on Facebook, Bold Spirit Travel, her website, boldspirittravel.com, and she's got the most gorgeous drool-worthy photos on her Instagram account, which is Bold Spirit Travel Company. Regina, thank you so much. I was so excited about this talk, and I can't wait to watch your virtual tours, and I can't wait to find out what my word is. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's been really fun to talk to you.
Right back at you. Bye.
Bye.